We're holding on. We're holding on Samach Aleph, Amar Aleph, seventh line. We looked in the mission of V'chein Behecho V'chein Mizbeach Kola. That we said if the we said that each unit of hazois of sprinkling that the Kohen Gadol does with the par and the sar is considered a separate kapara. So we said, for example, if he did the ones in the if the blood spilled, let's say in the middle of doing the ones in the Kodesh Kedoshim, then the Tanakama had said that he has to get a new par or a new sar, as the case may be, and check them again and start over that series of sprinklings. Because that series of sprinklings is a kapara of its own. And the same, now on the other hand, we said, that if he finished the sprinklings in the Kodesh Kedoshim and then the blood spilled before he started the ones in the Heichel, he doesn't have to redo the ones in the Kodesh Kedoshim because the ones in the Kodesh Kedoshim are a unit of their own and the ones in the Heichel are a unit of their own. So the point is, in other words, there's different groups of hazois, and each one stands by itself. So therefore, once one of them is finished, he doesn't redo that one in case there was a spill or some other accident like that. But if it spills in the middle of one of those sets, in the middle of one of those units, then the Tanakama, which we're going to say later is Reb Meir, would say that he has to start over from the beginning of that unit. And we said in the Mishnah of Elazar and Reb Shimon said he doesn't have to, which we're going to learn further down on the Yomud why they say that. So Tanarabana, we learned in a Braisa, regarding these various applications of blood, the Pasuk says like this. The expression in the Pasuk is, V'chiper es mikdash ha-kodesh, he should make a kapara for the holy place, ves oyel moyer ves ha-mizbeach yechaper, and oyel moyer and mizbeach he should be mechaper for, v'al ha-koyenim v'al kol am ha-kol yechaper, and he should be mechaper for the koyenim and for all the other people of the congregation. So let's break that down phrase by phrase. When the Pasuk says he should atone for the Mikdash HaKodesh, that refers to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now Rashi explains that this whole Braisa is talking about what the par is mechaper for, what the blood of the par and of the Sur, the Sur Lashem, that is, what they are mechaper for. So the mechaper for the first one we're saying is mechaper in case there was any tuma that happened involving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which means like this. Now you have, if a person enters the Beis HaMikdash when they're tamei, and they knew ahead of time that they were tamei and this is the Beis HaMikdash, then they forgot one of those two details, then they went in or ate the Kodeshim, and then later on they remembered, that's called Yediyah B'Tchila V'Yediyah B'Soif. In that case, they have to bring their own personal Korban, a korban oil of a yod. Now, what happens though if there was yediyah v'tchila? He knew to begin with that he was tamei, but then he forgot and went into the Beis HaMikdash or ate kodshim, and then he didn't afterwards realize his mistake. So now this is what the korbanos of Yom Kippur are meant to accomplish. Are meant to accomplish kapara for him, or actually not really complete kapara. Rashi brings from the Gemara and Shavuos what it is a temporary kapara. It saves him from the consequences of what he should get, until eventually there comes a point when he realizes that he entered the Beis HaMikdash when he was tamei, and at that point he brings his korban oil v'yodin. So Rashi learns that the Braisa is describing over here what this par and sar are being mechaper for. They're being mechaper for a scenario where a person mistakenly entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim b'tuma. Now, of course, nobody's supposed to be entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim except for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So either you have that a person, you could have, for example, one of the workmen went in there, let's say. You have workmen are allowed to go in there to fix. Ideally, we use Tehorim. If not, then we use Tmeim. But you can have a person, for example, who was Tomei and didn't realize it, and then was one of those workers who was lowered down or went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim as need be. And then later on, he realizes, so right now, he doesn't realize that he's Tomei. He did it for Shogeg, and later on, he may realize, but right now, he has only Yediyah B'Tchila. So therefore, the Hazois in the Kodesh HaKadoshim are mechaper for that. oil moyed the hechel. When the pasuk continues that he's mechaper for oil moyed, that refers to the hechel. That refers to that it's mechaper for any tumma, for any accidental tumma of that kind that involves the hechel. Now, if you have other possible cases. You have the case where you had no yediyah b'tchila, but he had yediyah b'soif. You have a case where you had no yediyah b'tchila or b'soif. So for those, it explains in Shavuos that there are different other korbanos throughout the year that are mechaper for those. And a little bit of that we're going to have later on in our sugya about what's mechaper for what. So again, all these cases we're talking about, according to Rashi, where a person had yediyah b'tchila, he knew earlier on that he was tamei, so he knows he's not allowed to enter the Beis Mikdash. Then he forgot that he was tamei, or he forgot that this is the Beis Mikdash, which could also be. Then he went in, and he hasn't yet realized later on that he was over that on that b'shrei. So again, so far we have kapara for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, for the oil moed, mizbeach kamashmoy. The word mizbeach means exactly what it sounds like, means the mizbeach hachitzon. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi says, let's say, unlike the other ones where it sounds like Rashi is saying that we're talking about that he went in there when he's tamei, here Rashi says it somewhat differently, that it could be he went onto the mizbeach and stayed there long enough to bow where that's considered. If a person becomes tamei in the Beis Mikdash, the halacha is he has to get out of there as fast as possible, and if he waits there the amount of time that it would take to bow, then he's chayev for Tumas Mikdash Rekodesh. So in this case, he became tamei while he was standing there on the mizbeach. Let's say a dead sheretz all of a sudden fell on him, and then instead of rushing off the mizbeach right away, he stayed there kadesh shiur hishtachavoya. On the other hand, the Gvura Sari, it says that maybe the Gvura Sari and Rashi should be loisha kadesh tachavoya, that maybe he didn't even stay there long enough, but let's say he did some kind of avoida while he was on there, which the Gemara in Shavuos explains. You could have, let's say, for example, he's hurrying out of there as fast as possible, but as he's doing that, while he's walking off the mizbeach, he takes one of the large forks, one of the large pokers over there, and turns over a piece of a korban on the fire. So he didn't stay any longer than necessary, but he did do an avoida. And the point is that we need kapara for that, so it accomplishes that. Yechaper elo azores, and the word yechaper.
Alexander, are you saying that you need a shear of time to become tamei?
No,
it's not instantaneous.
But if a person becomes tamei in the Beis Mikdash, then there's a shear of time beyond which, if he delays, then he's chayev for tumas mikdash v'kodesh. Less than that, he's not chayev. That amount is, the Gemara tells us in Shavuos, the amount of time that it takes for Ishtachavoya, the amount of time it takes for bowing, which the Gemara associates it with a certain pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. The time, the amount of time it takes to say that pasuk is equal to the Shir Ishtachavoya. So let's say that amount of time will take 5 seconds. So in other words, if a person becomes Tomei on the Mizbeach, he's obligated, the moment he realizes he became Tomei, he has to rush off the Mizbeach and go out the Azora by the shortest possible route. So now, if instead, among
the 5 seconds is when he becomes tummy, or when he realizes that he becomes tummy?
Until he starts moving. Once he realizes he's tummy, he has, let's say, 5 seconds to get out of there by the shortest possible route. If he takes a longer route, or if he's taking the shorter route, he takes. But he stops at some point more than 5 seconds, then he's going to be chayav for Tumas Mikdash V'Kodesh. And also, the Gemara mentions over there, also, even if he didn't delay any amount of time at all, but as he's walking, he does an avoida, that would also be mechayav him. So the Braisa continues, that koinim kamashmar, and koinim means what it sounds like, that we're being mechaper on the koinim. Am ha-kohol elu Yisrael, the word that it's mechaper for the people of the kohol refers to the Yisraelim, and yechaper elu Levim. When it says yechaper one more time in the pasuk, it includes the Levim as well. So now, according to Rashi again, all of this has been saying that what the various sprinklings are mechaper for. They're mechaper in case there was tuma involving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in case somebody went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without realizing they had known in advance that they're tamei, but then they forgot before they entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they haven't yet remembered that. So then it takes care of that. Similarly with the Heichel, similarly with the Mizbeach, similarly with the Azara. The only difference by the Mizbeach, the Rambam, not the Rambam, Rashi, by the Mizbeach, Rashi is not saying that we're talking about that he went onto the Mizbeach Tomei, the Pashtus, because how is he going to get onto the Mizbeach without walking through the Azaras? And we mentioned the Azaras separately. So therefore, Rashi has to explain by that one that it means that he was on the Mizbeach and became Tomei and stayed there for longer than Shir Hishtachavoya. Or again, according to the Gvura Sari, the Girsa should be that he didn't stay there, Shir Hishtachavoya, but he did an Avoida. Now that's all according to Rashi. Tosfos and Tosfos Hishonim and other Rishonim have a number of problems with Rashi's explanation. One of them being what is this Gemara doing over here? We're talking over here about the dinim. We're in the middle of talking about what happens if the blood spills at some point during the avoda. What does he have to repeat? What does he not have to repeat? Why is this the appropriate place to be talking about what each of those hazoris is being mechaper for? Also they have a question of why the mizbeach needs to be mentioned separately from the hazoris. So, okay, Tosfos says that, okay, maybe Rashi is explaining like that because he's saying it goes together with this that we're saying, the fact that all the ones in the Kodesh HaKadoshim are a unit of their own because they're mechaper for Tumah involved in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that explains why, if the blood spills in the middle of it, why you have to start over with those matanis. Fine. Nevertheless, though, Tosfos and many other Rishonim learn that actually this Braisa is talking about, it's not talking about what's mechaper for what at all. It's talking strictly about the question of what happens if the blood spills, this that we see, that from the Pasuk, that each of these things is considered a separate, is considered a separate unit of its own. So Zeh L'Pnai V'L'Fnim means the sprinklings in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that those are a unit of their own, and once those are done, you don't have to repeat them. Oyo moyed zeheichel, meaning the ones that are done in front of the parechas are a unit of their own, and if afterwards the blood spilled, then you don't have to redo them. And the same thing by the mizbeach, which is the mizbeach azahav, according to this one, and azaras, then according to that, would refer to the pouring of the shirayim of the blood on the yisoid of the mizbeach achitzen. So each of those, in other words, is a kapara of its own, in the sense that if one of them, in the sense that if there was an interruption in the middle of one of them, then he has to start over from the beginning of that one. But if there was an interruption after any of them was done, then he doesn't have to go back and redo it. So according to them, it really does belong in the sugya. According to Rashi, as Tosfos says, maybe you could say that we're using the fact that each one of them is mechaper for a tumor in a different area to explain why it is that each one is considered a separate unit. Anyway, continues the Braisa. Hushvu kulon l'kapara achas. Now we see from these words, Hakoyanim va'akol amakol yechaper, when it says yechaper at the end, hushvu kulon l'kapara achas, it means that all the Koyanim, Levim, and Yisraelim are all made equal regarding one kapara. Shakulon miskapen b'sarim ha'shalach b'shar averis. When it comes to other averis, other than Tumas Mikdash V'Kadshav, Divir Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yehuda says that for all other averis, the Kohenim and the Levim and the Yisraelim are all miskapen with the Sarim la'azazel. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda was telling us that the par is mechaper for the Kohenim, for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadshav, the Sarim is mechaper for Levim and Yisraelim, for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadshav, the Sarim la'Hashem. So now, though, since you have a word yechaper over here, and it means to include all the Jewish people under the same heading of kapara, so what is that, So what kapara is there that would be the same across all of them? That must be the kapara of the Sarim la'Azazel, so says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says no. Kishem shadama sura nasa b'fnim chapra Yisrael b'tumas mikdash v'kadshav. He's saying the same as Rabbi Yehuda, just phrasing it a little differently. The same way as the blood of the sura b'fnim, the sura l'Hashem, is mechapra for Yisraelim and Levim in tumas mikdash v'kadshav. Kach dama por mechapra l'koyinim b'tumas mikdash v'kadshav. The same way the blood of the par is mechapra the same thing for the koyinim. Fine, that part he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. He's just phrasing it a little differently. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could say in general the whole avoda of the par is mechaper for the koyanim, and the whole is mechaper for the koyanim, including the vidui on the par as well, which we had back in the third parak of our Masechta. And continues Reb Shimon, ukeshem shevidui shasodam shalech mechaper Yisrael b'shar averis, just as the Kohen Gadol's vidui on the Sarim la'Azazel is mechaper for all the other averis of the Yisraelim, as we're going to learn in the next parak. He says the same thing, the vidui on the power of the Kohen Gadol is mechaper for the Kohenim's other averis. In other words, Rabbi Shimon's basic point against Rabbi Yehuda is, you're saying, Rabbi Yehuda, that the Kohanim are, that the Kohanim have their kapara for Tumas Mikdash Kodesh with the power, the Levim and the Yisraelim have it with the Sur, everybody shares in the kapara for other Averis with the Sur Lazazel. Rabbi Shimon says, no. The Sur Lazazel has no effect for the Kohanim. They've already been taken care of by the Vidui on the power and then the blood of the power. The Vidui took care of their other Averis and the power took case of their Tumas Mikdash Kodesh. It's only by the Levim and the Israelim. There's no vidui on the Sur Lashem. Therefore, for them, you have the vidui on the Sur Lazazel deals with the other Averis, and then the blood of the Sur and the sprinkling of it, of the Sur Lashem, takes care of their Averis of Tumas Mikdash Kodesh. That Rashi brings from the Gemara and Shavuos. So new, what does Reb Shimon do with the Chaper, which shows that all of them share in the same kind of kapara. So he says what it means is the comparison is that all of them are able to have kapara for all these things, for Tumas Mikdash Kodesh and for other Averis. Reb Shimon says the comparison doesn't go as far as to say that they're all Neskapa with the same animal, that not. He says the Kohanim have their power, the Levim and the Israelim have the Sur Lashem, for the blood of the Sur Lashem and the Vidui and the Sur Lazazel, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda saying that everybody has the Vidui and the Sur Lazazel for other Averis. Okay. Next. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in another Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'chila mikaper es HaKodesh. We've quoted this pasuk yesterday. V'chila mikaper es HaKodesh. He should complete making kapara for the Kodesh. Ves oyo moyed ves hamizbeach, and the oyo moyed hamizbeach. So what does that mean? Bechila mikaper es hakodesh. The word hakodesh in this pasuk means zelifnai velifnim. This means in the kodesh hakodashim. Oyo moyed zehechol. The words oyo moyed refer to the rest of the hechol. Mizbeach kamashmoy, and mizbeach means the mizbeach hazahav. Malamet shekulon kapara kapara. But neatzman, from here we learn that each one is a unit of kapara of its own. So, and then this is going to be based on this is going to be what's the din if the blood spills. So now, according to Rashi's explanation of the previous Braisa, that the previous Braisa was focusing on what each one is machaper for, so now this Braisa is focusing on what happens if the blood spills. According to Tosfos and the other Rishonim, who say that the previous Braisa also was focusing on what's done with the, on what's done in case the blood spills, so then that previous Braisa learned that from the pasuk the chiper es mikdash hakodesh, which is by the end of parashat Achrimos, and this one is learning it from an earlier pasuk the chiper the chila mikaper es hakodesh. Okay, so malamet shekulon kapara kapara. But neatzman, from here we learn that each of them is a unit of kapara of its own. Mikan Amru, based on this, the Chachamim said, Nosen Mikzas Matonis Shibuchnim, if he did some of the Matonis, some of the sprinklings of blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, V'nishba Hadam, and then the blood spilled, Yavi Dam Acher, then he has to bring other blood, which means if it was the power, then he has to shecht another power, and as we said yesterday, he also is going to have to take another handful of Tertus, because we said that things have to be done in order. And then he's going to bring that blood, the yaschub atchilub matonis shubuknim, and store it all over the matonis inside. So if it was the power, that's the case. If it's the sur, it means he's going to have to shecht another sur, lashem, and what he's going to deal with that, how he's going to pick that sur, lashem, we're going to see in the next perek about whether he has to make a new girdle or not. And then we're going to talk about at the end of our perek, we're going to talk about at the end of our perek, which we'll learn tomorrow, best Hashem, what do we do if we make a new girdle? That means we have an extra Sur Lazazel. What do we do with that extra one? Anyway, so that's if he did some of the matonis b'fnim and then the blood spilled. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon Oymim, no, ain't a maschal al makom shepasek. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon say no, he just has to start over from where he broke off. So he did, let's say, three hazois and then the blood spilled. So now he does need to shech the new animal, but now he doesn't need to start over from the beginning of the sprinklings. He just needs to start over. He just needs to continue from where he broke off. Next, Gomer Samatonis Yerifnim. What if he finished the Matonis in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Nishba Hadam, and now before he does the ones in the Hechel, or while he's doing the ones in the Hechel, the blood spilled, Yavi Damacher, then he has to bring other blood, the Yaschab Atchila, the Hechel, and then he starts over, Then if it spilled before he began any of the matonis in the hechel, then he has to shecht another animal and start and start with the Matanis and the Heichel. That part, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are not arguing with, because there's no Hazos that he did get in the Heichel that we should say those already are done and he doesn't have to redo them. Now, over here, we wouldn't say that he has to redo some previous avodas, because after all, the power that he shechted previously was kosher to a certain extent. We had some of the machanos were done with it. So therefore, he just need to shecht another one and continue from there. Now, if he did some of the sprinklings in the Heichel, the Nishbach Adam, and then the blood spilled, Yavi Dam Acher, then he has to bring other blood, he has to shecht another animal, the Yascha Batchil of the Heichel, and start over with the Hazois in the Heichel. The ones that he did in the Heichel so far before the blood spilled don't count. Again, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, say, like they said in our Mishnah, that he only has to start over from where he broke off. So he had done three matanis so far, he doesn't have to do those three again. He just does another five. Gomer matanis shebe heichel. Next, if he finished the matanis in the heichel, the nishbach adam, and then the blood spilled, yabi dam acher, again he has to bring other blood, the yaschel betchil of matanis on his mizbeach, and start now with the applications of blood to the mizbeach, the four on the four corners and the seven on the top. If then he put some of the matonis on his beach and then the blood spilled, yavi damach, then he has to bring other blood, the yaschah b'tchil of matonis on his beach, and start again with the beginning of the matonis on his beach, so he has to redo the few that he did before the blood spilled. Again, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, and Makom Shepasuk Maschil, and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon again say that he only has to start from where he broke off. Finally, gama matonis from the mizbeach. Now, if he finished all the matonis on the mizbeach, the nishbach adam, and then the blood spilled before he could pour the shirayim on the yisoid, divrei hakol la ma'akvi, then everybody would agree that pouring the shirayim on the yisoid is not ma'akiv. At that point, he does not have to shecht another animal. Now, when we say everybody agrees, not necessarily do we mean everybody. Yesterday we discussed that maybe Rabbi Yehuda and maybe Rabbi Nechemya hold that the shirayim are in fact ma'akiv. But what we mean is divrei hakol. We mean all the opinions that are in this brisa now that we're dealing with, where we have the Tanakama of the brisa and we have Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Among them, all of them hold that the shirayim are not active, and therefore that if the blood spilled before he applied the shirayim, before he poured out the shirayim, then it's fine. But each of the other ones, we said, matana achas mehen me'akavas, and therefore he does have to go and shecht the new animal. The machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon is, if it's spilled in the middle of one of the series, does he have to start over from the beginning of that series, or is it enough that he just starts from where he broke off? So, where did they get their respective opinions from? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shneim Mikra Echad Doshu. Both the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon are both basing themselves on the same pasuk. The pasuk says at the end of Parashas Tzava, Midam Chatas HaKippurim, from the blood of the Chatas, the pasuk starts by saying that Aaron accomplishes Kapara on the Mizbeach HaZahav once a year. And the pasuk is Midam Chatas HaKippurim, from the blood of the Chatas of Yom Kippur, Achas Vashana, once a year. So now, what does that phrase Achas Vashana teach us? Reb Meir puts that word achas together with the word chatas. In terms of truck, the word achas is separated from chatas akipurim. In the way we read it with the truck, midam chatas akipurim, from the blood of the chatas of Yom Kippur. With that blood, achas vashani yichaper all of once a year she's been chaper. But Reb Meir, in effect, is taking the achas and putting it together with the word chatas. So therefore, it means chatas achas. So therefore, it means chatas achas amarti l'chov loy shtei chatois. So it means, says Reb Meir, that each series of hazois has to be done with one chatas, not with two. So if he did three hazois on the mizbeach, or three hazois in the kodesh hakodashim, or whatever, and then the blood spilled, if we were to say that he just continues and does the other five hazois with the blood of another korban, then it comes out that the eight hazois, the achas lamata, the sheva lamata, are being done using two different chatois, and you can't do that. Each sequence has to be done with one chatas. So, okay, we said before, each of them is a kapara of its own, each of them is a unit of its own, and they're separated from each other in the pasuk. So therefore, we can say that once he finishes one series, then he doesn't have to redo that series with a new animal. But within a series, Reb Meir says, it has to be achas, it has to be chatas achas, one chatas. Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Sabri, Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon, meanwhile hold, no, chatas achas means chitui echad, amarti l'cha, v'loi shnei chituyim. What we want is that there should be only one chitui, which means application of blood, and it shouldn't be repeated. So therefore they say, if he did three hazois and then the blood spilled, if you're going to tell me he has to redo those three hazois, then it comes out that he did those hazois twice. And we know, and they're saying, we see from the pasuk that each type of hazar is supposed to be done only once. Therefore, they say it must be that the pasuk is telling us that you continue from where you broke off, and that way no hazar is being repeated. Okay, so that's good machlokes then. So the mayor says that the pasuk is implying that each series of hazars has to be done with the blood of one animal, and Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon say, on the contrary, it means that each series of hazars, each individual hazar is to be done only once. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Rebbe, Li Chilek Rav Yaakov V'Lugin. Rav Yaakov pointed out to me a difference regarding the Lugin. Now, here we're going to start focusing on, from here, for the next little bit, we're going to focus on the Korbanos of the Metzora, specifically the Oshem of the Metzora and the Lug of oil that he brings with it. So there's a final stage of a Metzora's Tara. A Metzora is one of the Mechusa Kippurim. He has to bring a Korban in order to be able to, in the future, enter the Bais Mikdash or eat Kodshim. So he brings three Korbanos. One of them is an Osham. Unlike most Ashamas, this one is accompanied by Nesachim. Usually only an Oila, a Shlomim, a Toida are accompanied by Nesachim. But here you have uniquely an Osham that's accompanied by Nesachim. In addition with that, also he brings a lug of oil, where that lug of oil, so now what happens is the blood of the Asham, some of it is applied by the Kohen to the Metzora's right ear, his right thumb and his right big toe. Then of the oil, the Kohen takes the oil, the lug of oil, sprinkles seven times of it, we're going to talk about soon where he stands when he does that sprinkling. Then he takes the oil and applies some of it with his finger again to the Metzora's ear, thumb, and toe. And after that, the rest of it he's supposed to pour on the Metzora's head, and and the rest of the lug becomes, the rest of the lug is like the leftovers of a korban after the blood was sprinkled and the meimurim were offered, and the kohenim can eat that oil, they can mix it with other food and eat it. So now let's talk about, so the same way as you have hazar with the blood of the korbanos on Yom Kippur, the same way you have hazaris and you have applications with this oil of the Metzora. Again, you have seven sprinklings of it. You have an application on his ear, his thumb, and his toe. Then you have placing some of it on his head. And then the rest of it, okay, we're not dealing with what happens with the Shirayim. So the Rebbe says, Rebbe Yaakov pointed out to me a difference as far as the Lugim, that they're not the same thing. In other words, he's saying that when it comes to the Hazaris of Yom Kippur, we have the machlokes between Rav Meir on the one hand and Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon on the other, whether any Hazaris are repeated or not. Again, if the blood spills in the middle of a series of Hazaris, does he have to start over with that series, or does he just start where he broke off from? And we said that the basic argument is how we learn Chachas Kippurim Achas Bashana. But when it comes to the lug of oil of a Metzora, there the pasuk says that he has to bring the loig echad shaman, one loig of oil. So that means we learn from that, and there's no way of learning otherwise, that it means there has to be only one lug for the kapara, not two. So therefore, everybody would agree that you have to start over again. You can't have that some of the hazaris were done with one lug of oil, and the rest of them, after it's spilled and you've got a new lug, are going to be done with the other one, because you can't do that, because it says the loig echad shaman, making it clear that all of them have to be done with the same loig. So the Gemara says v'loy. So you're telling me that not? You're telling me Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon don't argue, and that their mayor and Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon don't argue in that case as well? V'hotanya, we learn in a b'raisa, nosa niktas matonis rifnim. What if the Kohen did some of the applications of blood bifnim? Now Rashi over here says bifnim. So Rashi over here says that it means actually inside the heichal. There are different Rishonim. Rashi himself, in some places, seems to say that he stands in the Heichel. In other places, Rashi says that actually it means he stands in the Azara and sprinkles it towards the Heichel. Different Rishonim talk about the details with that. Whether that's what is it? Rashi himself seems to contradict himself in a couple of places, where there are places where he says that it takes place in the Heichel and other places where he says it takes place in the Azara. So according, if we say that it's in the Heichel, then the word Bifnim means exactly Bifnim and Beheichel means exactly that. If you say that it takes place outside of the Azara, then the words Bifnim or Beheichel are not really exact. It just means in the Azara, facing towards the Heichel. Anyway, so the Braisa says, Nosen Miktas Matanis Shibifnim, what if he did some of the Matanis, some of the seven sprinklings of blood Bifnim, of oil, Bifnim, inside the Heichel or out in the Azara, depending on the different opinions, Vinishvach HaLoig, and then the lug of oil spilled, Yavi Lugach, you should bring another lug of oil, the Yach B'tchila B'tanis Shebeheichel, and store it again with the seven sprinklings of the Heichel, and again, Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon, and Mokum Shepasikul Maskel. Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon say he continues from where we left off. So we see, according to them also, you don't have to have Daf the Loig Echad Shaman, and therefore it has to be all the Matanis are done with one Loig. They don't agree with that. And, continues the Braisa, Gama Matanis Shebeheichel, what if he finished the seven sprinklings, Benishmach HaLoig, and then the lug of oil spilled, Yavi Lug Acher, then he brings another lug, the Yascha B'tchil of Matanis Shebeheichel, and he starts, Gama Matanis Shebeheichel, Benishmach HaLoig, Yavi Lug Acher, the Yascha B'tchil of Matanis Shebeheichel, then he starts, now with this new lug, he starts the application of oil that goes onto the guy's ear, thumb, and toe. Bahonis in general, meaning bahonis is a general term, meaning big thumb and big toe. So the Gemara often uses that as a shorthand for the three applications that we're doing for the Metzora. But of course, you have the ear as well. Nosan Mitzas Matonis Bahonis, if he put some of the Matonis on the thumbs, the Nishmach HaLug, and then the Lug spilled, Yavi Lug Acha V'yasa L'Tzil of Matonis Bahonis, then he has to bring another Lug and start over with the applications of blood, of oil we're talking about, to the ear, thumb, and toe. Again, Rabbi Lozer and Shimon Mokin Shepasikul Maskel, and again, Rabbi Lozer and Shimon say that no, he just starts from where he broke off. So if he had done, let's say, the ear and not the thumb and not the big toe yet, and then it spilled, Rabbi Lozer and Shimon would say that you bring new oil, you don't do the ear again, you only do the thumb and the toe. And Goma Matanis Shibba Bahonis, if he finished the Matanis on the Bahonis, on the ear, thumb, and toe, the Nishmach HaLug, and then the Lug spilled, Divrei Hakol, Matnas HaRosh, Lai Ma'akvis, everybody would agree that the placing of the rest of the oil on his head is not Ma'akiv, and therefore the Lug and the whole procedure is kosher. So again, Tosfos mentions over here, the same way as we had the Machlokas before Tosfos and Siach Yitzchak on Tosfos points out, again, the same way as we had before a Machlokas about the Shirayim, whether pouring them on the Yisoid is Ma'akiv, the same way there is an opinion of Rabbi Akiva that mentions in Zvachim that if he didn't put the oil on the guy's head, then he wasn't Mechaper. So when we say over here that if you didn't put it on the head, then it means it's not active, not necessarily. Again, would everybody agree to that? What we mean is, so Tosfos brings a couple of possibilities. Does it mean Lloyd Kippur? Does it mean he's not Mechaper at all? Does it mean he didn't do the mitzvah in the best possible way? Or is it just that Gemara means fine? There's another opinion that says that it's Ma'akiv, but we're not dealing with that over here, because again, when we say everybody agrees it's not Ma'akiv, we mean that the Tanakama and Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon all say it's not Ma'akiv. The fact that there may be other Tanoim out there who say it's Ma'akiv, then we're not worried about right now. Okay. Anyway, the point is that we see clearly from this Braisa that yes, the same Machlokas as you have as far as Hazar on Yom Kippur of the blood, the same way you have the exact same Machlokas as far as the Hazar of the oil of a Mitzvah, where if it's spilled in the middle of one series of applications, then the Tanakama, which we're going to say is Reb Meir, is going to make you sort over from the beginning of that series, and Reb Lozer and Reb Shimon are going to say not. So how can Reb Yaakov say to Rebbe that there's a difference between the Lugim, that when it comes to the Lugim, it's not the same as the blood, and everybody agrees that you have to store it over? We see that Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Shimon still say over here that you don't store it over. The answer is Ema, you're right. You have to fix up what Rebbe said. Lishina Rav Yaakov Volovian. Lishana Rav Yaakov Volovian. What it means is Rav Yaakov taught me that there is the same machloikas as between Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon and Rav Meir on the lug of the Metzora as well. Actually, the Ritva says, so how do you get from Chilek to Shana? He says that actually all it is a change in the Kurdis. The original word that Rebbe used was not necessarily Chilek, it was Shina, which means he changed. So now it's very easy to change Shina into Shana. So Shina would mean that he changed, that he said that there's a difference between one and the other, versus Shana would mean that he taught me that there's Machlokes by that one as well. Okay. So let's go back now and analyze. We said that putting the oil on the Metzora's head is not ma'akiv. So if the oil spilled before he put the matana on the guy's head, then it doesn't matter. So my timer. Now why is that? Why are we saying that everything else up to that point, the seven sprinklings and the application to the ear, thumb, and toe is ma'akiv, but only the pouring on the head is not? So my time, are you going to say because the pasuk calls it the leftover of the oil, it says you should place on the kohen's head, so therefore on the metzora's head, so we would consider it shirayim, and shirayim, we said before that according to many tanoim, the shirayim are not ma'akev. The problem with that is by the same logic, when you have vahanosu, you're going to say it means something that's not ma'akev. What about the rest of a mincha at the part that's left, the shirayim, after you take out the kmitza, is called vahaneseres? And we're not going to say that if the shirayim are not there, then the mincha is kosher. In fact, the Gemara in Menachos tells us exactly the opposite. That if you take the kmitza of the mincha and the shirayim are, and you don't have the full shirayim there by the time it's offered on, by the time the kmitza is offered on the mizbeach, then you can't offer them, then you can't offer the kmitz. So you see that even though the rest of the mincha is called noiseres, it's called the shirayim, nevertheless it still has to be intact until the kmitz is offered. So the same thing over here, why should we say just because the oil on the head is called hanoiser, we should say that it's not active? In fact, Tosafos Hashanim says you have within the oil of the Metzora itself, the Pasuk previously calls the oil that's left after the seven Azos, it calls it Miyester Hashemen. So the Gemara could have asked the same thing about that. Why are the applications of oil to the ear, thumb, and toe active? The Gemara preferred to find the word Noiseres, which is by the Mincha, which is much more similar to the word Noiser by the oil for the head. Anyway, the point is just because something is called Noiser in the Torah doesn't show that it's not active. We see by mincha that the shirayim are ma'akev. The answer is shiny hasim dechtiv, but we yesev anoiser. Fine, but by the oil of the metzora, you have twice it uses the expression leftover. First it says the leftover oil that's in the kohen's hand he puts on the ear, thumb, and toe, and then the leftover of that he puts on his head. So therefore it comes out that what's being put on his head is a leftover of a leftover, shirayim of shirayim, and that we're not going to say is ma'akev. So the first ones, which are only called shirayim, those may well be ma'akim, and those are, if he doesn't put them on the ear and thumb and toe, then he hasn't accomplished the kapara. But the one on the head, we're saying, according to this, is not ma'akim, because that's already only shirayim of shirayim. Okay. Talking further about the korban of the metzora, Amar Rav Yechanan, Asham Metzora Shechter Shaloy Lishmoy, suppose that you shechted this Asham of the Metzora Shaloy Lishmoy. Now, the din is most korbanos, if you shech them, or do, when we say shechting, we don't just mean the shechting, we mean the other avodas as well, the Kabbalah, the Halacha, the Zrika, all of those have to be done lishma. With most korbanos, if one of those was done shaloy lishma, then the korban is still kosher, and you continue bringing it as a regular korban, it just doesn't count for the owner's obligation. Only by a chatas, on a korban pesach, do we say that shaloy lishma makes it possible. So now, if the Asham Metzora was shechted, Shaloi Lishmoi, Bonu, the Machlokas, Reb Meir, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon. Now we come to the same Machlokas of Reb Meir versus Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon. What does he do in that case? Reb Meir, the Amar Yavi Achav Yascha Betchila. Reb Meir had said that any avoda that wasn't completed, we consider as if it wasn't there. So over there, it comes out that Reb Meir is machmir, and he's going to say, for example, that you have to do the sprinklings that you started. You have to start them over again. You have to redo the sequence of sprinklings that you did before. So for example, Reb Meir had said, we said that if he spilled the oil in the middle of the sprinkling, in the middle of the seven sprinklings, then he has to start over from the beginning of that sequence of sprinklings. But over here, it comes out, Lakula, Reb Meir in effect is saying, you already had sprinklings, but those don't count because it got spilled in the middle. Therefore, you have to start over from the beginning of the sprinklings, and then you have Echad Shaman, then you have Loig Echad Shaman, one log of oil. So, according to Reb Meir, something that was interrupted in the middle is as if it didn't happen. So over here, the Osham wasn't finished because, yes, it was shechted, and yes, it's being brought, but it's not counted for his choiva. So therefore, even if they already applied the blood to his ear, thumb, and toe, and then they realized that actually it was shechted, shloi l'shma, then nevertheless, the mayor was saying, we ignore that one, we bring a new Osham, and he starts over again. So the Rameyer de Amar Yavi Achav Yascha Betchila, according to the Meir that you start over again, Hachanami Yavi Achav Yishchet. The same way over here, you bring another Osham and Shecht it and start all over again. Whereas according to the Lazar and Reb Shimon, who say that you continue from where you broke off before, Hacha Emay Takana. Then over here, according to them, there's no way to fix it up because they're saying that that whatever was done so far has validity. So now you have over here, and over here you also have where it says Keves Echad Osham. So again, all the applications of blood have to be done using the same Keves. So therefore they would say, Einloi Takana, says Rabbi Yechanan, there's no way of fixing that up. Because now if you shecht another Osham, and you start again doing the applications on his ear, thumb, and toe, then it comes out that those are being done with two different ashramas, and that's no good. It has to be only one asham. Now, why did we say before by the loig shemen shamatzorda that there's no problem with that? So there's a couple of different explanations. One of them being that the loig shemen doesn't go on the mizbeach, whereas the asham does. Another point is that the loig shemen, you don't really need to redo anything. According to them, you just start from where you broke off. Whereas over here, when you bring a new asham, necessarily you're going to need to shecht it again. And at least the shechita of this one was so far done, shaloi l'shma, and therefore it comes out that you're repeating an avoda, and according to the laws of shemen, you can't do that. There is also a different explanation that the Rabbeinu Yochim says that there can be a difference between the loig shemen which spilled, where therefore it means you don't have the shemen available anymore, versus the osham that was shechted shaloi l'shmoi, where the osham may not be counting for his chayva, but nevertheless the fact is it's still there, it exists, and it's being brought as a kosher korban, including the sochem and all. With that said, though, Tosfos says, what are you talking about? If it was shechted shaloi l'shmoi and it doesn't count for the owner's chayva, then how can you say that shechting another one is going to go against osham echad? The fact is, it was shechted shaloi l'shmoi. The fact that you applied the blood to the guy's ear, thumb, and toe doesn't mean anything because it's not considered an osham that he's yotze with. So therefore, Tosfos and other rishonim learn that they prefer the girsa of Rabbeinu Hanan all over here, that the problem is not if it was shechted shaloi l'shmoi, the problem is if the blood spilled. So now, again, Reb Meir would say the fact that the blood spilled doesn't matter. You go take another animal and shecht it, and you apply the blood where you're supposed to. And according to Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon, we would say that ein lo takana, that there's no way of fixing it up, because again, according to them, you have, because that is like, in other words, they would have the same machloikas as we had in connection with Yom Kippur, if the blood of the korban spilled. But the difference is over there, they're able to learn that chatas akipurim achas means that you never repeat any matana of blood. Here, when it says osham echad, there's no wiggle room over there. You have to say that it means that nothing can be, that you have to say that it means everything has to be accomplished with one osham. And here it's not, because the blood spilled. Okay, so that's according to Rav Yechanan. Maskif le Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, how could you say how could you say that according to Rav Meir it would be fine and you bring another Asham, whereas according to Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon is their problem. The Pasuk says that you have to wave it, the sheep of the Asham, together with the Loig HaShemen. So even according to Rav Meir, now you're bringing a new Asham, but where's the new Lub? So according to Rav Meir also it should be Ein LaTakana. And the Gemara says Kasha. Okay, that's a Kasha on Rabbi Yechanan, not a Stira, because you could say maybe Rabbi Yechanan holds that the Oisoi is used for some other Durasha. Okay, so the Gemara says Tanya Kavasei Rabbi Yechanan. Now, we learn a Braisa like Rabbi Yechanan's opinion, that according to the mayor, it would be fine, and you just bring another Asham, whereas according to the Elazar and Shimon, it's not fine, and the person ain't like Takana, there's no way of fixing up the situation, and he's never going to be able to ever enter the Bais Mikdash or eat Kodshim again, according to him. So we learn a Braisa. Asham Metzorah Sheshachdash Lo Lishmoy, if you shechted an Asham Metzorah, not Lishmoy, or if you didn't put the blood on the ear, thumb, and toe of the Mitzorah, you still bring it to the Mitzorah, but tone Nesachim, it still requires Nesachim like the Oshem of the Mitzorah, even though right now it's not functioning as the Oshem of the Mitzorah, it still needs the Nesachim that it would have needed before. Mitzorah Oshem Achal Achshiroi, and he still needs another Oshem in order to actually make him kosher to enter the Bais Mikdash to eat kosher. So we see that the Tana of this Braisa, Uga Pashtus, is your mayor, is saying that there is a way out of it. He needs another animal for an asham, but it can be fixed up. So Rav Chista, what would Rav Chista say to that? He who says that after all, since it says oisoi means even according to the mayor, you can't shech another animal. He would say amalach mait tzorich. You know what the word tzorich means? Tzorich ve'en la'takana means he needs another animal, but according to even Rav Meir, he can't because of the word oisoi. Therefore, he's stuck. Gemara says the Tani Tana Tzorich Ve'en LaTakana. Where do you ever find a Tana saying such a thing that the word Tzorich means that you need something, but it's not possible to do it for a different reason, and therefore you're stuck? And the answer is Ein. As a matter of fact, yes, we have another example of that. V'ha Tanya, we learn a Braisa along those lines. Nazir Memorot. What if a Nazir is bald? Now we know a Nazir at the end of his Naziris has to shave, and then he brings his Korbanos. What happens if he's bald? So he doesn't have any hair to shave. So Bishamai says he still needs to pass a razor over his head. There's no hair for him to cut off with the razor. Doesn't matter. He still needs to do that. Bishilo says he does not need to pass a razor over his head. Now Rabbi Avinah says, when Bishamai is saying that he needs to pass a razor over his head, they don't mean that he should actually do that. The fact is, passing a razor involves cutting hair. There's no hair to cut. Therefore, Bishamai says, Tzorech Le'en LaTakana. It means he needs to, but he can't because there's no hair for him to pass over the razor with. Therefore, according to Bishamai, he's stuck and he cannot bring his karbanos. So we see that sometimes the word Tzorech can be used in the sense of there is something that needs to be done. However, it can't be done for a side reason. And therefore, you're stuck. However, the Gemara says, "Pligah de Rav Pedas." This statement of Rav Avinah disagrees with how Rav Pedas understands it. The Amar Rav Pedas, Bishamai, Rav Elazar, Amru Davar Echad. Bishamai says that Bishamai and Rav Elazar are saying the same thing, and that same thing is going to be that there is a way out of it. That there is something that he can, that just the opposite. He learns Bishamai's Tzorich, meaning that you actually have to do the thing, even if it's not exactly what you have to do the action, even if it's not accomplishing exactly what it should have. So in other words, in this case, usually passing a razor over your head involves shaving the hair. But here we're saying, even though Rav Pedas's understanding of Bishamai is that their tzorich means that you need to pass a razor over your head. In other words, you do the physical action. You take a razor, you run it along your head. There's no hair to cut. Doesn't matter. The pasuk says that you need to put a razor, therefore you put a razor. So Bishamai Hodam Moran, Bishamai we just said. So now, in other words, again, according to Rav Avinah, tzorich of Bishamai meant you need to be cutting the hair. No hair, then there's nothing you can do. You're stuck. According to the Pedas, it's the other way around. No hair, you still do the razor. You're not cutting any hair with it, doesn't matter. You're still doing the razor. So but he says that Bishamai and Rav Elazar say the same thing. Bishamai Hodam Moran, we said what Bishamai says. Rav Elazar. Where do we see Rav Elazar said such a thing? The Tanya, or really the Tznan, it's the Mishnah and Negayim. Now, we said before that the blood of the Asham and then the oil that accompanies the Asham have to be applied to the Metzora's ear, thumb, and toe. So what if Ein Lo Bohen Yad or Bohen Negel? What if he doesn't have a right thumb, or what if he doesn't have a right big toe? Ein Lo Tahor Elamus. Then the Tanakhama of the Braisa says there's no way ever for him to become Tahor, because you have to have that these things are applied to his ear, his thumb, and his right thumb and his right big toe, and if those don't exist, then there's nothing you can do. On the other hand, Rav Elazar Oymer Noisa Namakayim V'Yotze. Rav Elazar says, no, you can just put it on where the ear, thumb, or toe should be, and then you Yotze. So in other words, the basic machlokes over here is a concept that Gemara mentioned elsewhere, ba'inan krok dichtiv, or loy ba'inan krok dichtiv. Do we require that the posik has to be fulfilled exactly as it says? So the posik says you have to put it on his ear, then there must be, the posik says you have to put it on his thumb, so there must be a thumb there. The posik says you put it on his toe, so there must be a toe there. Do we say that, ba'inan krok dichtiv, or do we say loy ba'inan krok dichtiv? You don't need it to be exactly as it says in the posik. It's good enough if you just place it where the ear or thumb or toe should be. So the Tanakhama is saying, but in and krokodiktiv. Rav Elazar is saying, you don't. So it's good enough to put it on the stump where the ear or thumb or toe was. Rav Shimon, I mean, nasan al shal smil, yotza. Rav Shimon says, if you put it on the left side, then you're also yotza, because then according to him also, loib in and krokodiktiv. So even though the posik is saying that you have to put it on his right ear, thumb, and toe, but if you don't have the right one, then you put it on the left one, according to Rav Shimon. So we see, in other words, that Rav Elazar holds that even, so Rav Elazar holds that when you can't do exactly what the pasuk is saying, then you do the next closest thing, which according to him is you place it where the ear or thumb or toe should be. Rav Pedas understands, Beit Shammai, to be saying the same way, you have to do as close as possible to what it says in the pasuk. So the pasuk says a nazir has to shave, then okay, this guy doesn't have any hair, then he does the motion of shaving, even though there's no actual shaving involved. Whereas again, according to the Bavina, we said Beit Shammai says exactly the opposite. If Beit Shammai holds Ba'in and Krokodichtiv, therefore, if you don't have hair to shave, then Beit Shammai says there's nothing you can do. An interesting thing, an interesting outgrowth of this, by the way, comes up as a discussion among the poskim. What does a person do when it comes to taking wool of an esrog if he doesn't have a hand? So then we talk about that if he doesn't have a right hand or he doesn't have a left hand, does he take them in his, in the crook of his arm? Does he take them, like in his elbow? Does he take it maybe one after the other using his left hand? So, one difference is, they point out, when it comes to taking lulav and esrog, the pasuk never uses the expression that you have to take them biyad. It just says, lakachtem lachem bayom harishon. So therefore, maybe you have a little flexibility with it. You could take it in your elbow or something. You don't definitely have to take it in the palm of your hand. And if you don't have that available, then you're able to take it in the other hand. And that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Since talking about the oshim of the mitzvah,
If you have an artificial hand, does that count?
It might. We talked about the other day the concept of l'kichai de'davar acher, that if you take the lulav and esrog by means of something else, so we gave an example over there that, let's say you wrap a scarf around the lulav and esrog, and then you pick them up using the scarf, then you can be yotze that way. So yeah, so an artificial hand would be something similar to that. The Gemara does mention over there in Sukkah, you can't do it in a way of bizoyan. You can't, for example, let's say put the lulav and esrog inside a pot and pick up the pot and be yotze, because that's not a respectful way of doing it. But taking it with a prosthetic hand, of course, would be respectful. So preposterous, you could be yotze that way. Okay. Turn it up on. We learn in a braisa. The lokach midam ha'osham. The pasuk says that the kohen should take from the blood of the osham, which refers to kabbalah of the blood. Yochobakli, you would think that means that he does Kabbalah in a kli shardis, like usual. Turn on a nasan, but the pasuk then continues that he should place the blood on the mitzvah's ear, thumb, and toe, which we learn from that. Manasina ba'atma shel koyin, just like the putting on the ear, thumb, and toe is done with the koyin's own body, it's done with his finger. Aflikicha ba'atma shel koyin, that would mean that the Kabbalah sadam has to be done in the koyin's hand, not in the kli shardis. Now, yocho achlam is be'achtein. In that case, you would think that means that all the blood, even the blood that's going to be put on the mizbeach of the osham, is also caught in the kohen's hand. This would be an example. We know that an osham has to have its blood placed on the mizbeach, like other korbanos, And actually, Rashi brings, this is an example of one of the Shloshim, one of the Yud Gimel Midos, Shatoin Adreshes, Behem is, Dabar Shahoya Bechlal, when you have something that's part of a general rule, the Yotza Lidan B'Dabar Chadash, and then it's singled out, and a new rule is mentioned there that, by it that doesn't apply to any other carbon. Iyat Yachalach Zero Chlal, you can't put it back into the general rule. Until the Pasuk tells you explicitly. So now we have like this. The Oshem of a Metzora is an Oshem. The blood of an Oshem is usually put on the Mizeach. Shtei Matanos Shein Ava. But over here we have the Pasuk is telling us that we put the blood on the Metzora's ear, thumb, and toe. So that's a Dabar Chadash. You wouldn't know that the blood of the Oshem is placed on the Mizeach at all. And you actually need a Pasuk to tell us that, the blood is even placed on the Mizeach. So you would think then that once we know that the blood is placed in the mizbeach, still you would think that since we're saying that the blood is received in the kohen's hand, then maybe all of it is, and therefore in this particular case, all the blood is received in the kohen's hands, or probably a few kohenim, because you have a fair amount of blood there, but whatever. The point would be, in other words, that maybe you do that, and then you go over to the mizbeach and sprinkle some of it on the mizbeach, and then you go over to the mitzvah and do his thing. So, Tana Rabbanan, the Talmud Lomar, therefore the Pasuk says, Ki kachatas ha'asham hu, the Pasuk says, no, this asham is like a chatas, meaning ma chatas ta'una kli, just like a chatas, the blood is received and sprinkled on a mizeach from a kli, af asham ta'un kli. Also, the asham requires a kli. So, therefore, so this is an example that ad shiach zrena, akasam l'kol l'befedosh, the Pasuk explicitly says, Ki kachatas ha'asham hu, to tell us that this Asham otherwise has the usual rules of a Chatas. The Kabbalah Saddam is done in a Keli. The blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach on a Keli. On the other hand, it also has this Dabar Chadash of that there's a Kabbalah, the Atzmei Shel Kohen, that the blood is received in the Kohen's hand and applied with the Kohen's finger to the Metzora's ear, thumb, and toe. Nimtzei Sa'at Omer, so it comes out. Asham Metzora, Shnei Kohen, Mekamlas Damai. So therefore, it comes out, the Oshem of the Metzora, you actually have to have two Kohenim who work together on the Kabbalah Sadat. Echad Yad, Echad Bekli. One receives some of the blood in his hand, the other, in his left hand, the Pasuk says, the other one receives the blood in a Keli. Zeh Shekibah Bekli Bola Eitzah Mizbeach. The one who received it in the Keli goes over to the Mizbeach and does the usual applications of blood to the Mizbeach of any other Oshem, Shtei Matanos Shein Ava. The one who received it by hand goes over to the Metzora and dips his right finger in and applies it to the ear, thumb, and toe. That's something unique that you have by an Asham where the blood is caught in not completely in a Kli Sharis, but partially in the Kohen's hand, and then it's applied to the Metzora that way. Okay, so that completes the discussion about the Oshem and the Metzora and the various things involving that, the Nesachim and the log of oil that come with it. And then we're going to get back now to this matter. We'll talk tomorrow, Rez Hashem, about this matter of when the blood spills and when you have to bring a new korban of Yom Kippur. What do we do with the if it's the Sur, what do we do with the extra Seirim, with the extra Seirim La'azazel that we're going to have over here, the extra Seirim La'ashem or the extra Seirim La'azazel, whatever the case may be. So we'll talk about that tomorrow, Rez Hashem, and then we'll start the new Peretz, which is going to be all about the Sur La'azazel.
Shkaya.